Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week is Atlanta Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson. Braves won the NL East, and Donaldson was a big reason they had a lot of success this season, but they lost to the St. Louis Cardinals in the NLDS. I don't know about you, Kyle. I love watching October baseball. I've had to do it on TV around here because it's been since 2011.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think Remy's the jinx since we've been married.
Gee, thanks.
We got married in May 2012. Phillies haven't been in a postseason since then.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
Haven't had a winning season since then.
I'm not blaming Remy. I think there might be some other issues going on in that front office.
But there are potentially some issues going on in that front office. They did fire their manager Gabe Kapler last week, and their owner is the boss. He's in charge.
Absolutely,
he is absolutely in charge. And
we know historically, as you look at. Professional teams that very highly involved ownership is not necessarily a recipe for championships.
Man, I heard comparisons to Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones immediately
there. That is not what you want to hear.
I was like, pump the brakes. John Middleton is not at Dan Snyder level. He's not at Jerry Jones level. I think what he does do is really take into consideration the fans and the media and what the general consensus is, what the loudest voices are. And sometimes that's good for business, but that might be bad for baseball as far as 100%. Wins and losses.
And I thought you asked a great question the other day, just talking about, should ownership listen to the fans? And I think that there's room for that when it comes to some of the things that, we were talking about. Yeah. Comfort in the stadium, what foods is served.
That was excellent,
right?
The way you put it. I couldn't put it any better.
A fan's experience is absolutely something that they should listen to. But when it comes to the team dynamic, absolutely not. I mean, look, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of lots of sports, but I would be kidding myself, if I wanted to make the decisions. If I thought I knew really what was best for the decision.
I know. In this town, in this area, want to make the decisions. They consider themselves the owners because they pay for tickets and they pay for parking and they pay for concessions, which you also do when you go to the movies.
Of course.
Do you own the
do you own Hollywood or the MGM Studio? But Rob, it's like going to your pharmacy and asking the person who is actually checking you out, right? Who's at the register, medical advice. Right. No, I go to the doctor to ask medical advice.
Right.
That person behind the counter certainly has a role in distributing it, but that's craziness.
But not the main role.
October baseball, though, is fun.
So fun. This
weather around here is phenomenal. So I've been enjoying it. Unfortunately for Josh and the Atlanta Braves, they had a quick exit. But we're going to talk about erasing the doubt. Because in the interview, which is coming up shortly, Josh talks about the biggest thing, the enemy, and as he calls him, the adversary, wants to do in our lives is create doubt. Josh is a confident guy. I sent Remy up. She didn't know Josh Donaldson. I know you do.
Absolutely.
He's former MVP.
Yeah.
So I said, here, you could look at him. He's got swag. He's got confidence. You need that in sports. You need that in life. You got to have that. But he knows where he stands.
Yes.
And he knows who he is in Christ. But man, no matter how confident we are sometimes, and no matter how secure we feel because we know where we will spend eternity, the enemy, the adversary, will do everything in his power to create doubt in our lives and try to make us feel that we're not good enough. And sometimes I feel I'm not a good enough husband, and I'm sorry. And sometimes I feel like I'm not a good enough dad. And I feel that sometimes when I'm working too hard and I'm not around or I'm watching Remy do this. So sometimes I'm feeling like, okay, maybe I'm not a good enough friend, or maybe I'm not a good enough son, or I'm not a good enough brother. I'm not a good enough cousin. I'm not good enough at my job. And I got to stop and think like, am I doing something wrong, or am I giving the best that I can? And is this the enemy trying to creep in and put doubt? And I think he puts doubt in everything that we do, tries to put doubt. And if I always feel if we're taking steps forward and if we're doing some work for the kingdom, like great work for the kingdom, I feel that's when the enemy's working overtime to make us doubt ourselves and make us really feel that we can't when we really can, or make us feel that we shouldn't when we should. And I want to just bring up one thing that Jesus said. He says a million things in the Bible that is gold, but in Matthew 19:26, he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Whenever we face these doubts in our lives, if we can just remember those words of Jesus, when we trust fully, all things are possible. Everything. It's all possible with God. So if we're doubting ourselves, we got to ask ourselves, am I not giving my best effort, or am I doing all I can? And someone's trying to create that doubt. And sometimes the enemy sends people into our lives to challenge us or make us go off track. And we have to be careful whose voices we're allowing to filter in our brain.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about voices, Robin. I think it's the very first issue in the world is in the garden. Adam and Eve have this command from God, have this, this mandate to go into the world and to bring the fruitfulness of God into the world, bring the dominion of God into this world, to reproduce all the things that God is doing in them into the world around them. There's this beautiful mandate that God has, just like he does with all of us. So, you know, there's this beautiful kingdom mandate of bringing love and hope and peace and the authority of the king into the world. And the first thing the enemy does to undermine that is cause doubt. The first attack of the enemy is to go to Eve and say, Eve, did God really say? Are you enough? He's trying to keep you from being like him. When actually God was inviting you to walk with him in this whole thing. He was actually trying to create intimacy. Yeah. The enemy's first thing was, do you really believe that you're enough? Did God really say that you're enough? And this thought of doubt creeps in, and it robs us from doing what God's called us to do. And really, that's, I think, what should have happened from the beginning is what should happen in us. Eve should have turned around and said, yep, this is exactly what God said.
Yeah.
What God said settles it.
Yes.
I may not actually see it yet in my life. I may not have experienced it yet in my life. I may not have walked through it all yet in my life. But that's my firm belief is why the enemy was in the garden is so that Adam and Eve could practice the dominion that God had given them already. Because the garden's perfect.
Yeah.
God had said, this is who I want you to be. This is who I made you to be. Let me put an enemy in there for you so that you can actually use what I've given you. But they didn't. They listened to the voice that you were talking about, the voice of the enemy over the voice of the Lord. And when we listen to the voice of condemnation over the voice of conviction, we will always fail to become who we were created to be.
That's so good. That is so good. And, you know, to build on that, I also really believe that God is about rewarding his love for us. He's always about rewarding his family, rewarding his kids. And going back to the garden, I feel like with the whole sin and everything that happened, all he wanted us to do was to understand our image that he gave us in him. And for that, he wants to reward us with everything that he has for us. He wants us to take dominion, as you said, for the reward. Because if there was no reward, there's no choice. I mean, he gave us a choice so we can get a reward in the end. And everything we do, we have to understand that every time there is doubt in our minds, he's trying to undermine our authority over him and everything that we have on this earth. And every time you take that doubt captive and you say, no, I know who I am in Christ. I know what he spoke over me. You're actually saying to God, okay, I understand, I accept my image in you, and I accept that reward, whatever, it comes with rewards. Everything that you understand, everything you understand in your image and who you are in Christ comes with rewards. And I'm not saying like my money or anything like that. I'm saying happiness. I'm saying confident. I'm saying
correct. The reward of the Holy Spirit, fruitfulness in your life. Yes,
peace.
Correct.
Peace.
Yeah.
I think this is there's right. there's no value monetary value you could put on having peace in your heart.
Absolutely.
And loving for love others, love yourself.
Correct.
These are things that come with knowing who you are in Christ and the rewards that he gives you every day is that, you know, you're loving yourself, you're loving your family, you're loving everybody around you, you're living in peace, you're living in this space where you're living from that garden, because the garden is here. The garden is not an imaginary thing. The garden is here, and you're supposed to live from that space, from the rewarding space.
Well, that's what faith is, right? Yeah. The Bible says if we were going to have faith, we must first believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Exactly.
So, remember, what you're saying is right. It's not a reward as if we've earned it, because we don't earn it.
Absolutely not.
It's just what he's already bought and paid for. So it's just us stepping into that. It's Adam and Eve actually learning, because God said this, I can live in this garden he already provided me, unhindered by life. And I think the voices that come into our head are the things that we have to really continue to be diligent about. I've been talking to some of our guys just about guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible clearly says, and you mentioned it, Remy, take captive every thought that exalts itself above Jesus. So it's a command, right? Paul's commanding us. So, hey, look, they're going to come. Sometimes I think I've heard people wrestle as people of faith and said, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't think this way. No. You're going to feel or think that way because you're human.
I struggled with that. I don't.
It doesn't make you a bad person.
And I'd pray. I don't. Why do these thoughts come in my head, Lord?
Because we're broken humans and we live in a broken world, right? Yeah. So Paul isn't in the Bible's not condemning you for having that.
No.
Yeah. He's saying, okay, when it comes, right? We used to say all the time, you can't help who knocks on your door, but you can help who you entertain in your living room.
Absolutely.
I can't help what thought comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. I certainly can help what thought I'm going to entertain.
Yeah.
And Jesus is clear that sin is not a thought. Sin is the entertainment of the thought. And so that's who, when anyone looks upon a woman lustfully in their heart, right? He's already committed adultery. No. The thought looking on the woman isn't. It's allowing it to become lustful in your heart, lustful in your mind. Yeah. So it's the entertainment of it. And I do think it's taking captive every thought. And then the Bible says, bring it into obedience to Jesus. So what Remy said is right. It's not only just saying, I shouldn't feel that way, because you and I, especially as men at times, we're like, I'm wrong because I've even had a thought.
Yeah.
No. Grab that thought. And just like you take
why did I think I want to punch that dude?
Yes. bring it into
I didn't want to think that.
What does Jesus say about you? What does Jesus say about them?
Yeah.
That's the next step.
Sometimes that enemy, the voice of that enemy, this is what's so tricky, because the adversary, the enemy, he's just so underhanded, so sneaky, so just devious. Sometimes that voice of that enemy comes from someone you least expect, right? So when it's someone you least see, so we can separate.
It's the hardest time.
We can go, oh, that's, these are non-believers, these are, I would expect it from you.
Yeah.
But then when it comes from someone that you wouldn't expect, I think that's where it becomes even more difficult to try and handle it and try and really work through those thoughts and work through those reactions. And, if people are experiencing that, how do you guys handle that? What do you say to them if the enemy's voice is coming from someone close to you or not necessarily someone in your inner circle, but maybe someone you immediately think, I would have thought you knew better.
Rob, I mean, look, I think some of the most difficult times of my life and hardest decisions I've ever made are those times when it's friends and family.
Mm.
And I think we give ourselves an excuse sometimes, the exemption. I would never let that in my life except, but they're family.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, it's family.
Yeah.
If it's unhealthy at any time, it's unhealthy if it's family. If it's unhealthy at any time, it's unhealthy if it's a friend.
Yeah.
So, Jesus doesn't make those exemptions. And those moments we talk about all the time are allegiance moments to Jesus. They are hard because I love my family. I love my friends. But I am not allied to them. My allegiance is not to my parents. My allegiance is not to my friends. My allegiance is not to my cousins or my aunts. My allegiance is to Jesus. So Jesus has this moment with Peter, one of his closest friends, right? We're talking the closest to him, who he's going to entrust the church to after he dies, right, as part of leadership. And Peter says, right after he says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God, Jesus said, cool, I'm glad you understand that, but now I'm going to have to die in order to make that happen. And he says, no, you're not. Yeah. And Jesus goes, excuse me, Satan. Right? I'm like, yes. Like,
get away from
but,
me,
but
Satan.
Do you understand? So what he did is this. He recognized where the thought came from.
Yeah. Right.
He wasn't talking about, he didn't call Peter Satan. Right. He wasn't saying, Peter, you're worthless. Peter, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Peter, mm-hmm. He said, that thought right there is unhealthy. I don't care who said it. I don't care where it came from. I know the source of it.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that. Look, all of us are broken, so all of us can be used by the enemy. And sometimes it's not just the enemy. Sometimes it's our feelings, what we want for people, what we would hope, and it still doesn't line up with God.
I was just going to say, I feel like the enemy actually uses the closest people to you to get to you. Because 100%. He knows that it would hurt a whole lot more. Oh, and yeah. It will dig a whole lot deeper if it comes from someone that you care about. Because if that person is like a far away person, or like a person on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and he's
yeah,
just like,
it's a troll.
You,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, it's a troll. Who cares? Yeah, yeah, and you got to brush it off and you go like, oh, I'm cool. But if it's a deeper, like a deep friend, like someone that you know, a deep relationship with that person, you're like, whoa, that's a low blow. I did not know that. That's yes. not cool. I did not expect that from you. I didn't want that from you. Why are you hurting me? Because I thought we were friends. But that's what the enemy does. He uses the people closest to you to get to you faster. And that's the spot that he wants. He wants a spot that really hurts so you can harp on it, so you can think about it all day, so you can build on it. And once he gets in your head with one thought, boom, it's over.
100%.
The one thought multiplies to like a million
That's
thoughts.
That's so true.
Yeah. Because in your brain, you have to think of it as a factory. Your brain is always multiplying. Whatever you give the brain multiplies. And
absolutely
all
right.
About the brain, people. I love the brain. So whatever, just imagine two little factories going on. The one thought is bad. The one thought is good. And the two factories are always working.
Yes.
So once you give that one thought a choice to stay, and a choice to actually multiply, guess what? The factory is going.
Yep.
And it's going strong. Millions of other thoughts are going to come into your mind and it's going to take it captive. And guess what? It's game over. You're going to start hating that person. You're going to start calling them other things too.
Being resentful.
You're going to be resentful. You're going to end that relationship pretty quickly. And then forgiveness doesn't happen. And then from there, it's game over.
Well, Rami, you said what's so true. It's not just how we interact with them. It's how we see ourselves. Because then we can see ourselves as self-righteous in doing
exactly.
it, right?
And ego
gets involved. Mm-hmm. You said something about the brain, which is interesting. And, you know, I know what you went to school for. I know you went. I went to school for pre-med. So I love the brain. I think it's amazing.
Isn't it fascinating?
It's fascinating. One thing that people have to recognize out there is truly your brain, when you start walking down certain activities on a regular basis or certain mindsets on a regular basis, truly creates channels in your brain.
Absolutely.
Like there are channels that are created. Yeah. So when you say, I can't get out of the rut that I'm in, it's truly what you're in. Your brain is actually in a rut.
Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself into a rut.
You become the prophet of your own future.
Uh-huh.
And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 18, it says, look, the tongue has the power of life and death.
Absolutely.
It's not just creating something out there in the atmosphere. It's creating something in our hearts, in our minds, the way that we think about ourselves. Scientists now tell us that the heart actually has a mind, has a brain of its own. It thinks of its own. So when the Bible talks about, man, you got to guard your heart because out of it come all the issues of your life. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because your brain is thinking. So as a man thinketh in his heart, that's how he'll respond. So Rob, what you just brought up today is this is a, especially in the world today, where there's so much hopelessness, so much worry, so much stress, so much doubt about, like I talk to millennials all the time. They truly have no belief that the world's going to get any better.
Wow.
So they're living in a constant state of doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But then the gospel preaches hope.
Yeah.
And yet, so these two worldviews are clashing inside of them. And because so many millennials are wait and see, right? They're kind of like, hey, well, I'm going to wait to see before I believe it. It creates this perpetual sense of skepticism. About the world is never going, even in the church. So I'm talking about young people in the church still saying, I'm still not sure. Because all the devil did, exactly what Remy said, is you plant one seed of doubt.
Yep.
And it keeps fueling that fire time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And like attracts like. So when you start to be depressed, you start listening to people who are depressed.
Yeah.
You start to have lack of faith or getting doubt, you get around people
misery
who
loves company,
absolutely.
Right? They say that all the time.
Yeah. You ever think about like, you know, if you have one bad thought, and then next thing you know, you actually see negative things on Facebook, your social media. You find it right away.
It's almost like when you think about buying an item and all of a sudden
it comes up.
It's actually very true.
Just talked about it. I talked about it. Here it is right there on Facebook.
Rob, what you just said, that is exactly.
That is true.
Okay, we actually have a great example in the physical of what actually happens in the spiritual.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like, you know, if you talk about, I really want to buy a new camera. You go on Instagram or you go on, right, Facebook. All of a sudden, there's going to be ads because they are listening and they are, if you Googled something, they are tracking that. The enemy's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what our future is. He knows what our he knows who we've been made to walk as a man or woman so that we can walk into as a future. Yeah. So he can't look at your future and say, I'm going to stop you from that thing in your future. He's trying to stop you from being the man or woman who could walk into anything in the future. Yeah. So all he does, listen to our conversations, look at our lives and say, oh, let me just bring this up to you constantly. Boom.
And we can't give him power. We can't give him power.
Give him a crack.
We can't give him power. We got to realize in Christ Jesus, we've won.
Correct.
We won. We have the victory and we could squash him. Man, I'm always constantly mentally kicking him in the nuts. Seriously, I'm kicking him in the nuts. And it's
okay. That's a great visual. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm like, there you go. There you go, Satan.
Hey, but buddy, you know how, like, as a sports team, all it takes is a little doubt.
Yes.
Right? You've watched it throughout your entire career. Yes. Teams that have a ton of talent. One little thing. We talk about locker room chemistry.
Yep.
Right? One little things of doubt, things start to fall apart. So it's not talent and it's not ability. It's not who we were created to be. It's just that thing that robs us.
Honestly, I feel like, I feel like this is really true. It's all about your frequency. It's kind of like when you dial your radio channels and you know that the radio channel, like this radio channel is on this exact frequency.
Yes.
Your faith is exactly the same thing. It's like a radio thing happening in your brain and you just have to dial it correctly. And if you dial your faith right to Jesus at all times and you're on that channel at all times, everything is going to be dialed correctly, and everything that filters through that is going to come through that faith channel. But if you don't, and your frequency is completely going so many different directions, and you're all the static is happening, all the noise, and you're not dialed correctly, anything that comes to you, you're going to be receptive to just receive it, and you're going to take it in, and you're not going to really dial it right. Your frequency is going to be completely all over the place.
I like that. That's powerful. And one final thing on this thought I want to say, the enemy has these thoughts put in our head and he's creating that doubt. We got to just remember, he's trying to distract us from preached on this recently, our calling.
Yes, correct.
Distractions from our calling. Like we're maybe on the verge of doing something that is really going to kick him in the nuts.
Yes.
And it's good for the kingdom,
really like that,
right? Yeah, I love it.
All right.
And it's working for the kingdom. He just wants to distract you from that. Wants to take you away from that. Go think about this. Go think about that. Go think about this. Get caught up in whatever people are saying about you or who said this to you or whatever else is going on, and then therefore you're not really doing what you're supposed to be doing or what you were called to do. Up next, we're going to hear from Atlanta Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show that we've done. Listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. You could also make sure to follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, every Tuesday night is an awesome time. We had Philadelphia Eagles running back Jordan Howard come out recently. It's a great spot to watch the games, exceptional people, and the food and the drinks are phenomenal. So it's every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. The Tim Tebow event I hosted for The Point at Parksburg was a special, special event, special evening. Tim is truly a genuine man of God, humble, so passionate about sharing the gospel and pointing. I love how he points everything to Jesus instead of himself. Have you had an opportunity to be at anywhere where Tim was speaking?
He was not speaking. He when he was here for the cup of coffee with the Eagles, he came here.
Did he?
Oh,
wow. I wish I knew that before.
He was here. He came because he was only here for a couple of weeks, and the guys had an opportunity to come. It was a night Carl Lentz had preached from Hillsong, New York.
And,
Tim came, and great guy.
The real deal.
And what he's been doing, obviously, for the kingdom is huge.
It is.
You know, all the way around. And his charity work is unmatched.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He spoke for 40 minutes, and then he sat down and answered questions for another 15. And instead of, like, a question would come, he'd get up to answer.
And
yes.
And he was
such a gentleman, isn't he? Yeah.
He was just so passionate about every answer he took so seriously.
It was
a joy to see that.
You can see the heritage of faith he has. I love that, right? So parents, just be encouraged out there, you know? You can have, let me just encourage you, you can be a great athlete and a passionate man or woman of God, and we should never sell one out for the other. It really is,
True.
Right? So great, take your kids to sporting events and sport camps and get them trained up, but don't forget to make sure that they're getting trained up in the Word of God as well, because Amen. Tim is a phenomenal athlete, but that's not the thing that he will be remembered for the rest of his life. It's who he is as this man of God. Yeah.
Heisman Trophy winner, 2-time national champion, won playoff games in the NFL, playing baseball, trying to play baseball, but it's the impact that he's making in the kingdom that's really remarkable. On November 2nd, I'm going to be the guest speaker at a men's breakfast at the West Lawn United Methodist Church in Reading, PA. So if you're in a Reading, PA area, come on out. Tickets are only $5, so it's an excellent breakfast, and I promise I'll give you a powerful message. We'll have Birds of Prey and Football Faith books also available to sign. So for tickets, call 610-678-5611. Also, coming up October 24th, I want to invite and encourage you to register and attend Q Commons Philadelphia. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. It's hosted by my friends at the American Bible Society. This will be an inspiring evening where the American Bible Society is joining with over 100 cities across the globe for an evening of powerful TED Talks and conversation about how we can continue to bring hope and leadership to our communities, and especially our city, Philadelphia. Registration is now open, and seats are limited for the first 180. Go to qcommons.com/Philadelphia. Our guest, Josh Donaldson, is a 3-time All-Star third baseman with Oakland, Toronto, and he spent the past season with Atlanta. He played a little bit for Cleveland last year. He was a 2015 American League MVP with the Blue Jays, had some injuries in 17 and 18, bounced back with a big season for the Braves, hit 37 homers in 155 games. I chatted with Josh last month. Here is that interview.
Josh, I know that Faith Academy in Alabama had a huge impact on your life. Can you talk to me about being a believer and what your faith means to you and how it's helped you throughout your childhood and now in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what I learned, especially when I became a believer, was when I was about 16, and I wasn't really not knowingly searching for anything. My grandmother started having Bible studies over at the house, and it happened to be right before our high school football games. And my grandma can cook.
No.
And so I was always wanting to go over there to eat. And interestingly enough, I've always been curious about and just trying to, whoever it is, I try to learn about people and learn what makes them who they are. For some reason, at a young age, I've always been that way. And, I started hearing this guy talk about, the Bible and everything that comes with it, and I got really interested into it. And then I started going to church, and I started noticing there's a lot of people here that, I felt like they had something that I didn't have. And to come to find out, to me, it was the Holy Spirit. And, it was a special time for me. And, I ended up transferring schools to go to Faith Academy in my junior year. And our head coach for our baseball team, who's one of my uncles, to me, who I've met, is probably one of the most, the biggest believers that I know by faith. And to hear them talk and to see how they live their life was a big example for me. And to be able to, have an understanding of what the Bible is and and probably one of the biggest things my high school coach used to always tell me is, hey, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for anything.
That's great.
Or if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that go misconceptions about a lot of different ideas. And especially, you know, when you're on the baseball field, you know, a lot of competitive juices going. But at the end of the day, you know, you have your morals and you have, you know, your character. And as long as you can look yourself in the mirror at night and you know that it's not just you that is creating this and that's in it, and that you have someone, that's important.
What I love about you is we try and put Christians and Christianity in a box, and you're supposed to look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, but you have swag, you have personality. Sometimes, you know, people look at me and go, oh, I couldn't tell you or believe just by the way you look.
And I
love that. Do you look for opportunities to kind of break that mold and let people know it's about who you are, what you believe in?
You never know someone's heart, and it's very easy to judge a book by its cover. And I think as people in general, we put defenses up for something that is different. If this isn't something that we're accustomed to, I believe that all of us have different gifts, and it talks about that in the Bible. I think a gift of mine, as I said earlier, is I always was somewhat different as far as people. I mean, I grew up in a little town, tough upbringing. You know, I've experienced a lot of things that a lot of children should never see. But at the end of the day, when people ask me, would you change that? No, because that's what makes me who I am today. And that's what makes me what I believe in today. And, you know, I try not to judge anybody. I wanted to get to know someone before I say anything that's where I have any type of constructed thinking against someone.
As you go through success, as you go through slumps, periods of sometimes if you're not on the field, you're injured, how much does having your faith, knowing that you're playing this game for a bigger purpose and it's to glorify the Lord, help you through those ups and downs?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, especially mentally. I mean, going through adversity. But as I said, at the end of the day, it's already been written. You know, we had to be able to see opportunity. We had to be able to see things from a different perspective. Sometimes maybe everything happens for a reason. And people, when everything's going great, everything's kosher and you're just sitting back and kind of, you know, just living it. But when things start to kind of hit those rough patches, that's what makes you who you are. To be able to fight and to continue to have faith and to be able to continue to go out there. And another thing that our coach used to always tell me is, you know, the adversary, he wants you, the biggest thing he could do is to create doubt into your life. And, you know, I've always been I've always been very confident in a big reason. Why is because I know where I stand, and I know that I'm going to go and put the work in that's necessary.
Give him a shout out, your coach from Faith Academy.
His name is Lloyd Skoda, and he still works there. He's not a coach there anymore. He retired 4 or 5 years ago, but he's was instrumental in who I am today.
Josh, man, really appreciate you taking time to do this. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Atlanta Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson. We'll talk about the interview next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Remy, and Pastor Kyle. We just heard from Josh Donaldson, and I love how open and honest he was. His story about coming to Christ by going to his grandma's house because she makes food.
I mean, who wouldn't?
You go, you got a football game, you want to be well fed, you're going to go to grandma's house.
Absolutely.
And heard some Bible studies, and then he said, you know, this is what is so powerful about that. They had something that I didn't have, he said, and I wanted it.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I come to find out that's the Holy Spirit. And like, that's a game changer right there.
When you realize
that you can have the same power of the Holy Spirit that someone else has, that's a difference maker. We talk about game wreckers, difference makers in sports, game changers in sports. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate, having that. And when you seek, man, when you seek that Holy Spirit, wow, everything really does change for you. I think some listeners maybe sometimes hear us talk about the Holy Spirit and they may be thinking, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean? To me, and maybe each of you has a different answer for this. To me, I feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that Christ lives within you. So you have Christ living within you, so you get to live out his resurrected life in you and through you. And you know, that's just to sum it up in one sentence.
Yeah. I think you summed it up in one sentence. You know, I think there's this amazing moment where Jesus turns to his disciples and says, it's better. It's to your advantage that I go away.
Yeah.
Because that's a powerful statement, right?
Yes.
Because you're in the midst of someone who is multiplying bread and fish, right? Right? Walking on water, healing people, raising people from the dead.
Yeah.
And he literally says, it's better for me
to go.
For you if I go away. And he said, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's in him, the presence that was in him, now can dwell inside of us. And that's the promise. You know, Paul says in Ephesians 1 that having believed, not having been good enough, not having been holy enough, not having read my Bible enough or fast enough, having believed in Jesus Christ, I am sealed with the precious Holy Spirit. It's part of my inheritance. And that's the beautiful thing.
Oh my gosh, to me, he's kind of like the, you know, when you put water in a purifier.
Yeah, right.
And then the water that comes
out. Which you do every night for the kids as they go to bed.
Good for her.
I always forget. I'm sorry.
It's like so good. And then the water, you know that the water in the bottom is clear and clean and the water on the top is not. To me, that's kind of the Holy Spirit when it entered my life. I feel like it's purifying me every single day.
Absolutely.
Like my whole life, my whole vision of everything that goes around and in me and through me and everything, it just gets purified every single day through that filter. And that's to me, that's the Holy Spirit. Once he entered my life, I am refreshed every day. I feel brand new every day, even though there's obstacles and there's things that happen every day and there's doubt and there is things that bother me and there's things that hurt me, but I filter it through the Holy Spirit and I feel like every single day things get clearer and clearer, and that's the whole objective of the Holy Spirit. He wants to clarify you. He wants to get you to a place where you look closer and closer to God and be more and more like him. That's my filter.
No, Remy, what you're saying is right. Right, that's such a good analogy because the we talk about sanctification. That's a big big theological word, right?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we think we have to clean up the water and bring it to God and then pour it in. No. He's the filter that actually allows our mind to be renewed, our emotions to become servants and not masters, and you know, our desires to actually become in alignment with him. It's not straighten up all those things first. It's not purifying the water filter. What good is that? It's bring who we are to the filter and allowing him to be the lens that we see the world through, the filter through which we filter our feelings, our emotions, our life.
And it's every day.
Every moment of every day. Absolutely.
Like, I am
living in surrender to
that. You're not going to see me ever turn on a faucet and drink from it. That is not happening anytime soon, guys.
Never
going to happen. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care how clean the water is. That's not going to happen with this girl. I always put my water through my filter first. And then when I see it coming down, that's when I pour my glass of water. Okay? That's what I do. I don't do plastic water because I don't know if it's filtered.
She gets on me all the time.
I hate
I'm too lazy. I'm drinking out of a bottle.
Because I don't know if it's filtered.
I read the labels.
I'm drinking out of a stream, dude. That's not good.
You need to filter your water, guys. Just like how you need to filter your life through the Holy Spirit.
That's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
I keep going back to this song, which was our daughter's first like favorite Christian song back when they were maybe two. Jeremy Camp, Same Power. Mm-hmm. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Lives in us. It's the whole... The Holy Spirit, He lives in us when we invite Him in, when we seek, and He's within us. I want to talk also about this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, because it says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." What do you stand for? Because Josh said, I think it was his coach, his
love
baseball coach. Mm-hmm. If you don't stand for something, so you'll fall for anything. Yeah. And Paul's saying this in 1 Corinthians, what do you stand for? Yeah. Like, what do you stand for? If you stand for the word of God, then stand for his word in everything you do. You can't stand for the word of God on Monday, but not Tuesday, or half of Wednesday, but not Wednesday night, or Friday at lunch, but not Friday when you're out at the bar for happy hour, right? If you're going to stand for God, stand for the word, stand for God, stand for the word, but we need a strong foundation to be able to stand firm. And it's a powerful, powerful thought to think about.
You know how hard that is, though? Because sometimes when you're out with people and you don't know, sometimes you're swayed. Sometimes you're like, oh, well, you know, they're saying this. And automatically, as a human, you want to just interact. And you want to just say, oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, keep the peace.
And be like, oh, yeah, my kids do that too. And I fall in that trap all
uncomfortable
the time.
Moments, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the comfortable moment, like when I say, oh, yeah, my kids are this. You're not supposed to say those things. You're not supposed to agree with people on everything. Especially the negative stuff.
Getting the wrong agreements.
Yeah, because those agreements actually build mountains in your life that you're going to have at some point you're going to have to climb on your own, because nobody's going to climb those with you. Those mountains are yours, and you're the one that built them.
Absolutely.
So I fall in that trap a lot, and I actually have to correct myself when I talk to people, because I'm like, whoa, I'm supposed to actually be pouring hope into them, not agreeing with them in their defeat. Because that's a horrible thing to do.
Yes.
Oh, and, wow. That's strong.
But Remy, you started from the right place. So knowing what your end game was supposed to be,
which is
I'm here to actually bring hope, be a hope giver in this moment, right?
Yes.
I'm meant to be an influencer, not being influenced.
Yes. Mm.
And that's really important. And
it's hard.
And Rob, when you talk about what are you standing for, you know, we have to come to a place where we decide, again, allegiance moment. Who am I going to be in allegiance with at that time?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, are we going to be the influencer, or are we going to be influenced?
Because moms do that a lot, though.
Oh, sure.
See, moms, we complain a lot about our kids.
And you want to be agreeable. You want to make somebody feel like, don't feel bad.
Correct.
You don't want to be righteous. You don't want to be the righteous mom all the time. Then the mom that goes, like, my kids are so beautiful and so incredible and so great. But They are, and everybody's kids. They get on your nerves, and I get that.
Stop! No,
you know?
They're not all the time.
Not all the time.
Hey,
but I
spent 2 hours doing something that would have taken me half an hour yesterday if my kids weren't asking me for something every 15 minutes because they had a day off from school, and I was like, "When does school go back?"
Right?
Oh yeah.
I was like, "Whoa!"
I went out to try to do some errands yesterday, and yes,
right. Uh-huh. You get stuck.
But it's not easy.
I feel you, because sometimes I'm around you in those moments, and I'm on the outside of the conversation. I'm the dad. There's no other dads around. How come I oftentimes find myself in a circle of you and women? It's always just me, you, and women. And I'm like the only dad there, so I'm escaping this conversation. Yeah. But now I'm hearing you, and I'm like,
do you hear me sometimes?
Oh.
Like, I fall in that trap, you guys. I really do. I mean,
I got to start texting you on the side. Like, did you really? You know?
But you know what I love, though, Rob? I love, there's this moment in the Bible in Daniel that I love this moment, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are being threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace, right?
Three times.
I know, right? Exactly.
I love their names.
I love it. And they stand up and they're like, look, King, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand why you're going to say, why your view is that way. But I'm not going to change my view, because I know my God and I know what he's called me to. And he can rescue me. But even if he doesn't, I won't bow down anyway.
Yeah.
And there's this amazing moment where they knew who God was. They knew who they were. And that ground became unmovable. Yeah. And when we can actually know who God is and know who we've been created to be, that ground becomes less movable in our life. And look, you know, faith is not the certainty. Faith is not based on the certainty of the outcome. It's based on the certainty that God will show up in the outcome.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. So the fire, the flame that they were thrown into was the opportunity for the fourth mm-hmm. man to show up. It was the opportunity for Jesus to show up. And that's where we have to be. That's what Paul's talking about in Corinth. Look, there's going to be persecution that's coming. The Roman Empire's coming for you.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that are going to feed you to lions, throw you in the fire. There's going to be people who are next door, your next door neighbors who you had broke bread with, who are going to actually turn you in and backstab you in this kind of world. And I want to let you know, you got to stand. And and it doesn't mean that the outcome will change. It will just mean that God will show up in the midst of the outcome.
I love that.
So good.
One other thing that Josh mentioned in the interview that I wanted to bring up, because you see Josh and like I said, you know, he's got this swag and he's definitely got character. He's got personality. He's outgoing. Yeah. And I love that about him. And sometimes, you know, we're not all the same. As believers, we look different. As I said to him in the interview, people want to put us in a box.
Like, thank
you're supposed supposed to look this way or dress this way.
And
he said, you never know someone's heart. You have to. It's easy to judge a book by its cover. Paul says in Romans 12, we have different gifts, which Josh mentioned. We all have different gifts.
Yeah.
And according to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Mm-hmm. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If we all look the same, had the same gifts, acted the same,
correct.
How is that going to really have an impact in the world? We're all going to be the same type of robot.
Only certain people would be connected.
I love coming here, Pastor Kyle. I love the Connect Church, and Remy and I have been coming here for almost 2 years now. I love coming here because there is so much difference. There is so much diversity here. I could stand in front of me, there's somebody wearing a ball cap, right?
Right.
And then I could look to my right, and then there's somebody who looks like grew up in the churches where you had to wear a three-piece suit. You know what I mean? And then you look here, and there's somebody's casual.
Multicultural.
It's everything. Yeah. There's diversity. Yeah. There's diversity in how they dress. Yeah. There's diversity in how they look. There's diversity in ages, and it's all over. And I love that, and I've been seeing. I met a guy who's like, I started coming here after I heard you speak at such and such place. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And I think that's also what we should do as a congregation is, you know, when people are talking about, hey, I've been looking for a good church, and well, let them know about yours.
I'm sure pastors never gonna say
no.
But you're right.
Let them know about what it is about. What do you love about where you go? One, it feels like home. Like you said, you walk in here, it looks like home. Yeah. It feels like home. But the people welcome you, and the people are different. So there's someone to make everyone feel comfortable.
I think the goal in the kingdom is not uniformity. It's unity. Mm-hmm. And we confuse those things in our life. Everyone wants uniformity because they become uncomfortable when someone around them looks different than them, sounds different than them, dresses different than them from different, but that's the beauty. God painted this world with so many different colors and so many different races and so many different cultures. That's not an accident. It was beautiful. You look at trees, like they don't all produce the same leaves, but they're all trees, right?
Yeah,
especially fall.
I like
fall.
The leaves
it's
they produce
right now,
that are no longer
that are not
life.
Falling. Yeah. But I think, you know, we have this in the sports world right now, recently, and it's really a sad example, but
the Penn State
moment.
Oh, that could be a
when they write a letter and say, you don't look like us. Mm. You don't cut your hair like us. You have tattoos that we don't have. You wear chains that we don't have.
Wow.
And we are Penn State. No. I love the response from the players. Nope. The players who have tattoos, players who have dreads, players who have chains, players.
The coach
are Penn. The we is much bigger than the uniform. It's not about uniformity.
We are. Yes.
Yeah, that was your alma mater by the way.
I was saying that.
See now, if we weren't out of time, we could really get into that.
You guys, I have a story about we are, but if we
we are out of time. Go ahead. You got a quick story?
A quick story about we are. I was I just had just gotten into Penn State. I didn't even like physically go and visit the campus. I didn't even know that that's like something you say.
So you were just accepted.
Yeah. Just got accepted. And I was told, I was working at a hotel at this time. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, oh, where are you going to college? And I was like, oh, I'm going to Penn State. So he goes, we are. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no.
And he goes, we are. And I'm like, we are what?
I never heard this story.
That's awesome.
Oh, I have so many stories. And he's like, if you're going to Penn State, you need to know this.
You better learn this one thing. Yeah.
He's like, you say we are and you say Penn State. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't know that.
Well, so, on that note, you are. You are, not me. You are Penn State. We are out of time. Thank you to all our listeners and followers. Thanks to Josh Donaldson for being our guest. Thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Hoare. And huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, and everything he does to really make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support. Please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. Awesome companies, even better people. So thank you. Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets and Spirit, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee, Utzler and Associates. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.